So we're on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. This is the sugya called Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. And I'll show you where we're up to. If you take a look on Daf Gimel Amud Beis and you count up, I would say approximately 10 lines up from the bottom of the Amud, you'll see something called Boy Rav Bibi Bar Abaye Hidbik Pas Betanu. The first word in the line is Hidbik. Mm-hmm. You find such a thing?
Mm-hmm.
So let me give a little bit of an introduction to this suffix of Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. The Gemara had established earlier that there was a contradiction between two brisos about the following issue. The man was holding on to an object and he stretched his arm out from his house, which is the Rishus HaYochid, with the object in his hand into Rishus HaRabim. And the question is, should we allow him to bring his hand back? Here are the two possibilities. One possibility is that he's going to have to keep his hands outstretched for the entire Shabbos, and hopefully he won't let go of the object, because if he lets go of the object, it falls onto Rishus HaRabim, and then he completes Melechas Hotzah. And the reason why we want him to keep his hands stretched, even though it's a very precarious situation, because, you know, can imagine keeping your arm stretched until after Shabbos. I don't know, there could be hours, and he'll drop the object. But nevertheless, the Rabbanon wanted him to do that, because there was an Isur Rabbanon of taking the hand back into Rishus HaYochid. Now, exactly the nature of that Iser is because the Yad is considered a Karmelis, or is it because of a Knas that we were very upset with him that he did this, you know, on Shabbos he stretched it out. In any event, the Gemara had posited here a stira between two brisos. One brisa says that he's allowed to bring his hand back in, and the other brisa says he's not allowed to bring his hand back in. And the Gemara was trying to reconcile this discrepancy between the two brisos. And what the Gemara does is, the Gemara says the following, that one brisa is talking about Misha Chashecha, the other is talking Mibodjom. The brisa that allows you to bring your hand back in is talking about a case where he stretched his arm out before Shabbos, in which case we don't have to penalize him because he really didn't do anything wrong. I mean, he's allowed to stretch his arm out from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim on Erev Shabbos Mibodjom. But in a case where he did it after Chashecha on Shabbos itself, there we're going to get very strict with him, and we're going to prohibit him from bringing his hand back into Rishus HaYochid, in the hope that he will remain with his hand outstretched in Rishus HaRabim until after Shabbos, without dropping the object. So that's before Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. And the Gemara is going to assume that from based on that assumption, that since he had no right to stretch his hand out with an object in it from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, therefore we prohibit him from bringing his hand back, we see that the Rabbanon were very, very insistent, you know, waving the flag of this Iser. Again, this Iser is a new Iser that the Rabbanan enacted because they tried to discourage a person from doing such a thing, that on Shabbos he would stretch his arm out to another Rishus HaRabim where he's almost he's almost in violation of a chiyuv chatas. All he has to do is open his hand, drop the object, and he's chayv for meleches otzah for chil shabbos. So they told him, you know what? We're going to make life difficult for you. We're not going to allow you, say the Rabbanan, to bring your hand back. That's a real pain. And the reason they're doing this is to make sure that he doesn't do this in the future. This is not something that they're happy. So in order to discourage him, they're going to tell him, well, we're going to create an issur, you're not allowed to bring your hand back in. Again, one of the questions we have to ask, it's going to come up now in the Gemara, is whether or not he stretched his arm out b'mezid or b'shogeg. Let's assume he did it b'shogeg. He didn't remember that it was Shabbos, or he didn't remember that you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos, but nevertheless, the Rabbanan are getting very tight, you know, very tight-fisted here. They're very strict and stringent, and they say that he can't bring his hand back. So the Gemara thinks that that should be a parallel case to Rabbi Bar Abaye. So what's Rabbi Bar Abaye's suffix? Hidbik pas betanur. Now the word hidbik means when they had an oven in those days, what they did was they put the dough, they sort of attached it or smashed it to the side of the oven. And apparently that would give the bread a little bit more of a crust or something. So that's the word hidbik. So, but in any event, what happened was that on Shabbos, presumably b'shogeg, because the Gemara is going to talk about chiyuv chatas here, he accidentally put a dough into the oven on Shabbos. Now that's meleches afia, but only if the bread bakes. And we need something called krimas pas betanur, which is a crust. Until that crust is formed, maybe it'll take another 3 minutes. I don't know how many minutes, depending on how hot the oven is, etc. Until the meleches afia will be complete. So now he reminds himself, oh no, it's Shabbos. What do I do now? I mistakenly put this dough into the oven. I got to take it out. Now taking the dough out of the oven is also asur on Shabbos. Let's say, for example, if a person put a dough in on Erev Shabbos, is he allowed to take it out on Shabbos? The answer is no. That's called Rediyas Hapas. So you have to be careful here. There's Hadbakas Hapas, which means that the dough went into the oven, and then there's Rediyas Hapas to take it out of the oven. So if you've ever gone to a pizza shop, for example, you watch the way they make the pizza. So when they take out the pizza, you know, they put that flat utensil in and they draw it out. That's called Rediyas Hapas. And apparently it's something that you have to take a course in a baking school to learn how to do it. It's not so simple because you have to do it at the right time and you have to make sure that the dough is baked, but it's not overbaked, and make sure that you take it out in such a way that it doesn't fall apart. It's a whole malacha. It's a whole chachma, the Gemara calls it.
This is done today also. I don't know what bakeries, but they put it on the wall of the
oven. Yeah, I think there's an Arabic word for it. Even I forgot what it's called, but you can buy these kind of breads.
Right.
There used to be a place right here in Talpiot. Trying to remember the name of it. No, it was a restaurant. It was called Tzion HaKatan. I don't know if you remember it. And they had an oven in the back of the restaurant, and you could watch the way they made the bread. But maybe I'm confusing it with a different restaurant. But anyway, you could see the way they did it. Any event, so now we have the following suffix. This is where Bibi is vacillating back and forth. The man mistakenly put dough into the oven on Shabbos. In this case, perhaps we should allow him to be rodes hapas, to take the dough out of the oven, which is normally prohibited, midrabbanan. It's not an issur d'oraisa, it's not one of the melachos, but it's called a chachma, so we prohibit it. But in this scenario, says Rabbi, maybe there's a push to allow him to take the pas out of the tanur and violate the issur d'rabbanan of rediyas hapas, because otherwise, if he leaves, if we're going to tie his hands, I'm going to say, well, no, we're going to insist that you desist you know, we're going to insist that you desist. I don't know if there's such a phrase, that you desist from taking the pas out, because we have an isud rabbanon of rediyas hapas, and we're not going to be flexible about that. Even though, as a result of leaving the dough, forcing him to leave the dough in the oven, he's going to violate a full-fledged melecha safir, and he's going to be chayv achados. So that's where Rabbi vacillates back and forth. Let's see Rabbi's language inside. He says the following. Boy Rabbi, hidbik pas betanur. So on Shabbos, he put the dough into the oven in order to bake it. Then he realizes, oh no, it's Shabbos. If I leave the dough in the oven, it's going to come to full-fledged hafiyah, and I'll be violating Melech HaShabbos b'shogeg, for which I'm chayv a korban chatos. Here's the question. The first side is to say, he tiru lo lirdosa. In this case, they're going to be matir the Isur and Diyas HaPas. So they're going to allow him to separate this dough from the walls, from the sides of the hot oven, and remove the dough. Kodem shiyovali dechiyuv chatos, in order to prevent the full-fledged afir and a violation of an isur chatos. Olohi tiru, or should we say no? The rabbanan are going to insist that he's not allowed to violate the isur diyas hapas. This, despite the fact that he's going to come to violate an isur chatos, because the rabbanan are not going to be flexible. Now, again, you might ask the following, you know, what's on the scales over here? You know, we're doing a balancing here between a violation of Rediyas HaPas, which is Drabbanon, on the one side, as opposed to a violation of an Issa Doraisa of Afi on the other side. But you know what? I'm not so upset about that, because If he's going to do a Rediyah, then he's going to actively and deliberately violate an Issa Drabbanon. If on the other hand he leaves the Pas in the Tanur, which he put in there on Peshogig, so he's not, again, he's Chayv HaKapara, but it's not a full-fledged violation. I mean, if it would have been a Mazid situation where he deliberately put in the Pas, and now he does Tshuva, and he wants to prevent a full-fledged Melech HaSafir from realizing itself, then I can't believe in a million years the Rabbanon are going to say to him, no, you have to be Chayv Misa, you know, you're for amazing. Why? Because we have an Isur of Rediyas HaPas. And even if we would say that to him, I don't think he would listen to us anyway. But we're talking about a Shogeg. So the Gemara says, Tifshot Elohi Tiru. What's the Tifshot Shalohi Tiru? Where do we have how do we have an ability to tip the scale and decide what should be the din in this case, Rabbi? Namely, that the din should be that we're not allowed, we're not going to be permitted. And the answer is because, remember, the Braisa that said that if he stretched his arm out from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRav and he's holding on to an object, we're going to insist. And again, he did that on Shabbos itself, Mishach HaShech, who can insist that he keep his hand out, stretched out there for the entire Shabbos. And that's a Drabbanon. I mean, on a Deraisal level, he'd be allowed to pull his hand back. But no, we're going to make life miserable for him, because we don't want to let this situation go on and on and on, where a person will stretch his arm out from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim when he's holding an object. So you see that even though the Rabbanon are prohibiting the pulling back of his hand into the Rishus HaYochid as a Rabbanon, knowing full well that it might lead to a violation of Shabbos, because, you know, his arm, how long can he keep his arm stretched there? He's going to at some point drop the ball, so to speak, and pull his hand back. But nevertheless, no, the Rabbanon are going to insist on that Isur. Again, if he did it mibod yom, if before Shabbos he stretched his arm out, okay, he didn't violate any Isur, we'll allow him to bring it back. But when he did it on Shabbos, we're not going to allow him to bring his hand back in. Because we insist, as we said before, on a Rabbanon, an Isur Rabbanon, we're not going to be flexible and give him license to violate a Rabbanon, even though there's a very good chance it'll come l'idei chiyuv chatos. Now the Rishonim here are bothered by this analogy, this equation that the Gemara is making, because the Yesh L'chalik, there's an open, there's an obvious, blatant distinction between the two cases. In the case of the man who stretched out his arm into Rosh Hashanah, there is a possibility, maybe even a serious probability, that he'll be able to withstand the temptation of dropping the object, and he'll successfully hold the object until after Shabbos. Maybe, like, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu with Chur. You remember that when he was fighting against Amalek, so they brought a stone and they put it under his arms. You know, you remember that? So maybe we'll find a patent, you know, in which we can help him keep his arms stretched. Ich weiß, I don't know. So the Rabbanan, they don't see it as tragic in order to insist on their Isur to put his arm out, you know, to keep his arm out and not bring it back in. But in the case of Rabibi, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that he's going to violate a Chiyuv Chatas. That those are the laws of nature. You leave the dough in a hot oven, it's going to bake. So it could be that in this case, the Rabbanan are not going to insist on, well, there's an Isur Adiyas Apas. And who cares if he violates a Chiyuv Chatas? We know he's going to violate a Chiyuv Chatas. There's going to be a desecration of Shabbos with a full-fledged Melechus Afiyah, but we don't care about that. Why? Maybe we do care about that. The only thing is, in the case of the Yad Pshutol or Shus HaRabim, there we honestly, naively perhaps, believe that he'll be able to hold himself up and keep his arm outstretched without chopping the object until after Shabbos. I mean, this man is waiting for Havdalah really badly. But maybe he'll succeed. So there's no Vaday Chil Shabbos over here. We don't know for sure up front that he's definitely going to drop the object. But here, if you don't allow him to be rode to the pass, he's definitely going to violate the Iser Afir. So this is the Kash of the Rishonim, and they don't know exactly how to justify the Gemara's analogy. It doesn't seem like a fair analogy. So I'll just mention to you two approaches to try to justify the Gemara's equation over here. One approach in the Rishonim is going to be that it's karov levadai, it's almost definite that he won't be able to keep his hand out for the full Shabbos. And therefore the Gemara thinks it's a valid equation to the case of Radiyas HaPas. The other approach is to say the following. There's kind of like a Kal Vachomer over here. The Iser Radiyas HaPas is a full-fledged Iser that Rabbanon prohibited, regardless of this case of Rabibi Bar Abaye, where he put the pas in, the dough was placed in on Shabbos. In any case, let's say the dough was placed in on Erev Shabbos, he would still be Asur in Radiyas HaPas. Under all circumstances, Radiyas HaPas is an Isur. On the other hand, the case where he stretches out his arm, there is no Isur Drabbanan that was established, you know, they were Omed Laminion with Exera Nesiag that he can't bring his hand back in. The Rabbanan are now instituting this Isur. So there's like a Kal Vachomer here. If the Rabbanan are going to create this Isur, they're going to enact this Isur for this particular situation of a person who stretched his arm out, even though the Rabbanan, by insisting on creating this Isur, are going to run the serious risk of his violating a Chil Shabbos when he drops the object in Rosh Hashanah, then how much more so the Rabbanan would prohibit a well-established, a pre-established Isur. If they're willing to go as far as to establish an Isur, even in a case where there's such a good chance that it'll bring him to violate a Malach Dorais of Hotzah, then how much more so will they not be flexible about a pre-existing Isur that's already Chai V'Kaya? So let me just see if I can find this inside here. One second. I have a note here, but I'm not sure. Firstly, I have a note here that Radia Sapas Eina Sura Minatora She Chachma Veid Malach, as we said before, and he points out that that's a sugya later on in Kuf Yud Zayin of Beis. The Chachamim Asru Lirdos B'Shabbes. For a bibi mistapik im hitiru es ha'isu midivreihem b'makom shal yidei kach, if he violate, if he observes the isur derabon, and yovel yidei isu Torah o she'aminu es divreihem afilu ba'ofen hazeh. Oh, here's the point that I wanted to share with you from before. Ein l'chalik v'lomar, why can't we make the following distinction? Sveiko shara bibi im lo hitiru is bevada yafal isa Torah. Achkan, here in the case of Hoshata Sayyad, gam im lohitiru, even they insist that he's not allowed to bring his hand back. Yochol ha'chzik is yodah pshuta kol ha'shabas, ein kan vada yafal isa v'lachen konsu. Maybe they can insist on this knas d'rabbon, on this penalty, because he'll be able to hopefully maintain his arm out there. But here in the case of Pas, that's vada. And he says the following: Mishum she'en kam vadei she'yava kevin shel yuchal lahachzik es yodo. He says afkan, even in the case of an arm stretched out, it's a vadei. Why? Shel yuchal lahachzik kach es yodo b'meshach kol haShabbos. He won't be able to do it for the whole Shabbos. That's one approach. The Odei Shlomar, this is the Rashba, he says she'omnam Sham vada yaval isu Torah. In the case of Rabibi, he'll definitely violate the isu Torah. Ach mi idach kidei limno es ha isur hayitzarch laval isu drabbana ilukan. But here, in the case of the pshitas yad, he says afshi yesh tzad shelo yaval isu Torah. It could be that he'll hold his hand; he'll successfully hold the object. Mi idach im lo yikonsu. If they don't insist on the knas, lo yaval isu drabbanan klal. So they're now instituting an isu drabbanan. So the Gemara says, holo kasha v'tifshot. Don't get all upset about this. It could be the Amoraim that tried to reconcile the two brises, and they came to the conclusion that if he put his hand out and stretched his hand out to Rosh Hashanah, Misha Hashecha, he's not allowed to bring back his hand. Those Amoraim would certainly hold that in the case of Hadbaka Sapas, he's not allowed to be Roda Sapas. But Bibi is on his own. You know, he has his own approach. He doesn't know what the din would be, but those Amoraim came to a definite conclusion. But Enochinami, if you would ask Rabibi or Barabaye, it could be that in both cases, he would allow you to violate the Isur Derabbanan. In the case of Pshitas Yad, he would say, well, we don't want to let him drop the object and violate an Isur Malach. We'll allow him, therefore, to take his hand back. And in the case of Adbaku, we'll allow him to be rode to the pass. It's very possible. So, holokasha v'tifshot. Don't lose any sleep over the fact that in that Gemara, which was not Rabibi, it was a bunch of other Amoraim, that group of Amoraim felt that we have to insist on the Isur, even though it's the Rabbanon, despite the fact it'll violate the Isur Dorais. But in Rabibi's frame of reference, we don't know. Ebois, Ema, the Gemara says, Li Olam Lo Tifshot. Now the Gemara wants to suggest that there's no basis for deciding, for coming to any conclusion in Rabibi based on the halacha of yad, the brisa that says that he's not allowed to bring his yad back. Why? Lo kasha kan. The brisa that allows you to bring your hand back, that's a case of shogeg. But kan, the brisa that says you're not allowed to bring it back, your hand back in, that's a case of mezid. B'shogeg lo konsur rabbanon, b'mezid konsur rabbanon. Okay, fine. So we're saying like this. Let's reconcile the contradiction between two brises. Is he allowed to bring his hand back in or is he not? By saying that one brise that prohibits it is talking about amazing. He deliberately stretched his hand out, knowing full well that it's also to do so and it's Shabbos and so forth. The brise that allows him to bring his hand back is talking about a case of shogeg. Okay, let's accept that. So how does that impact on the Safek Rabibi one way or the other? The answer is we cannot be poshate the Safek of Rabibi, because In the case of Rabbibi, it's a case of Shogi. So in the case of Hatzar Sayyad, we said he's allowed to bring his hand back in a case of Shogeg. So why not assume, therefore, by analogy, that in Rabibi's case, he was a Shogeg when he put the dough into the oven, we should allow him to take the dough out. He says that what the Rabbanim decided in the case of Shogeg is they're not going to institute a Knas. So when he brings his hand back, he's not violating any Issa the Rabbanim. We don't know whether Bibi Barbai in his Suffolk would allow you to be Rodes Apas when you certainly violate an Issa Gomor de Rabbanim. So in other words, again, the we have to keep in mind, this has to, you know, we have to review this in our minds over and over again, that Rodes Apas is not a Knas. The Issa Rodes Apas is a separate gzera. It's a chachma of a lo malacha, which is Rabbanim Mishum Gzera and Shavuos. They prohibit this on Shabbos, and that's it. It's prohibited. Now you want to be matir for the sake of preventing his violation of a chiyuv chatos. That's a suffik of Rabbibi. He doesn't know if that far we can go. But the fact that in the case of Shogeg they allowed him to bring his hand back, that's because he didn't violate any Issa, and therefore he's a Shogeg. He's not liable for any penalty if he didn't do anything wrong. So therefore we're going to allow him to bring his hand back in. That's the case of Shogeg there. Here, no matter how you slice the cake, if he brings his hand back, if he's rode to the pass, he's going to violate an Issa Rabbanan. And now we have to weigh the pros and cons. Should we allow him to violate an Issa Rabbanan in order to prevent him from violating an Issa Chatas? So that's one way of telling us that you cannot derive any conclusions from the way we reconcile the two brises about whether he's allowed to bring his hand back in or he's not, and Rabbi Barbai. Those are two separate issues. Now the Gemara says V'ibayis Ema. Now notice that here the V'ibayis Ema is missing, is the Gemara omits three words, Li'olam lo tifshot. And I mentioned this to you as an introduction to the Sfas Emes. You know, the Sfas Emes, in addition to being a great Hasidic giant, and he wrote extensively on Hasidus, his work on the Torah is a classic, but he's also a great scholar in terms of Shas, and he has certain Mesethas, especially in Moed, that he's famous for. So I'm going to read to you Sfas Emes in just a minute, but the Sfas Emes is going to, I think, build on the fact that the Gemara doesn't say Li'olam lo tifshot here. Ibayis Ema, which now the Ibayis Ema then might be going on the stira between the two brises. We had one brise that says Asulach Zira, and we had another brise that says Mutulach Zira. Idi v'idi, both brises are talking about a case of Shogeg. So you may ask, well, if it's a case of Shogeg, why should we impose this kind of a penalty on him and say he can't take his hand back according to that brise? One brisa is crystal clear, that's smooth. He's allowed to take his hand back in because he didn't violate deliberately any Issa. Whatever he did was Mishogi. He's not royal with Knas. We don't penalize a person who's a Shogi. But there was one brisa that says that despite the fact that he's a Shogi, he's not allowed to bring his hand back in. So what's going on over here? Well, what are the two stodim? What are the two brises arguing about? Sakta Gemara, Hacha, what's the machlok between the two brises? Bekansu shogeg atu mezid kamiflige. Mar savar kansu shogeg atu mezid, umar savar lo kansu shogeg atu mezid. What happens is, and this is a sugya in quite a few places in Shas, is we're always afraid that a person who does something bemazed might give you a whole malarkey, you know, he might fabricate the truth and say, I was only a shogeg. Now, if he knows that there would be no penalty, he will not have to suffer any penalty if it was a shogeg, then in the case of mazed, we might be afraid of the fact that he'll tell us he's a shogeg when he's really amazed. So you're tempting him to lie and present himself as if he was a shogeg. He's going to bang himself on the head and say, oh, I didn't know, I didn't remember. So this is a sugya primarily in Gittin on Daf Nun Gimel Min Beis. It's actually machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that Konsu Shogeg Otu Mezin, meaning if you can institute a knas only in a case of a mezin, that knas will never hold water. It won't hold its teeth because he's always going to claim that he's a shogeg. Rabbi Yehuda says lo Konsu. You know, I guess we can trust him that he's a shogeg, and we don't have to impose a penalty on him. So that's the way we're going to reconcile these two brisos. One brisa will reflect the shita of kainsina and shogeg otu mezin, and therefore we're not going to allow him to bring his hand back in, even though he's a shogeg. The other brisa says lo kainsina, and therefore we trust him to say that he was a shogeg, and we're going to allow him to take his hand back in. But again, we see clearly that according to one man diomar, we're going to insist on a knas, even though he's a shogeg, and even though there's a really good chance it'll come to violate an iser chatos if he drops the object. So here I have a comment from the Sfas Emes, and he says the following: Lefi ha'oser, according to that one brisa which maintains that it's osur, he cannot bring his hand back in, even though he's a shogeg. Yesh liv shoda sfeik.
The first brisa, right? Before.
Which brisa is which? Toshma ha'isav leidvins, toni chada osur lachzira, toni idach mutu lachzira. So the first brisa says he's not allowed to bring his hand in. So Svasemis says, if you hold like that brisa, even though he's a shogeg, we are still instituting a penalty, a knas, and we're not going to allow him to bring his hand back in, despite the fact that it'll come, perhaps, to violate an Isur Malach. Yesh Lifshot, Es Sveiko Shel Rabibi. You know, it doesn't say Lo Tifshot. We really do have a Pshitus, but only according to one Braisa. Why? Keman Shel Asarnu Lahachzir, Af Bahotzi Vishogeg Mishachashecha, V'ein Choshin Shem Yobli Dei Isur Doraisa, Ein Choshin. You have to be careful here in the language of the Sfas Emes. When he means Ein Choshin, means we don't care about the fact that he'll good chances are that he'll violate it. So that doesn't bother us. Why? Because we want to institute a knas, we want to insist on our knas. Then Rav Bibi's case, where he put the dough into the oven on Shabbos, is exactly parallel to this case where he stretched his hand out, Misha Kashecha, from Rishus HaYotim to Rishus HaRab. And the Rabbanon insisting, for whatever reason, call it a knas, or kind of seen in Shogi got amazing, but the bottom line is the Chachamim are insisting he can't bring his hand back according to that brisa, even though there's a very, very good chance it'll violate an Isur Doraisa. Says the Sfas Emes that we do have a Pshitus. Maybe the Gemara doesn't come to an absolute Pshitus because Rabbi Bar Abaye's Sofik will now depend upon the two brises. But according to Sfas Emes, would we or should we accept that brisa that says also lachzira, then it's exactly parallel to the case of Rabbi Bibi. They're both cases of shogeg on Shabbos itself, and the Rabbanon are insisting on their isur, despite the fact that he'll come to violate an isur chatos, or at least there's a good chance that he'll do so. Iboy seima li olam lo kansu. Both prices agree that we don't have a knas on a shogeg situation. Only in the case of a mezid, he's not allowed to bring his hand up. In the case of a shogeg, we're going to allow him to bring his hand back in. And that would reflect the shita of Rabbi Yehuda in Maseh Tegit, that lo kansin and shogeg got to a mezid. V'lo kasha. How can we reconcile now this contradiction between the two prices? Kan. In the case of the second brisa that was matir, allowing him to bring his hand back in, that's li osa chotzer. If he brings back the object to the same place that he started with, so then he didn't really accomplish anything. So we're going to say to him, look, my friend, you want to bring your hand back in? Bring it back to exactly where you were standing, where you started with that chotzer. There are two chotzeres, let's say, that are continuous one to the other. We're going to allow him to bring it back into his chutz, so he doesn't accomplish a thing. He's back to square one. And therefore there's no need to impose any sort of penalty in this case. There's another brisa that says, also, zero, that's l'chan l'chotzer acheres. What's going to happen now in the brisa that says it's asur, which is the first of those two brisos, the intention of the brisa is that he's not allowed to put the object down in a different chatzer. A chatzer other than the one that from which he took the object out. Now, what kind of isur is involved if he would put it into a chatzer acheres? So many Rishonim say that the Gemara seems to imply that if he would put it back, and if we drop it, allow him to drop it in Chatzah Acheres, he violates a Knas. And the question is there no Issur D'oraisa here when he puts it down to a Chatzah Acheres? So the Rashbos says there's no Issur D'oraisa because both Chatzeros are owned by one person, or he made an Erev Chatzeros. Had he not made an Erev Chatzeros, for example, if let's say these two Chatzeros were owned by two different people, then the halach is also lahavir mishus hayochid shel zeh, mishus hayochid shel acher. You're not allowed to carry something from Reuven's private domain to Shimon's private domain. I would assume that that's an Issur D'rabbanan, but in any event, we wouldn't need a knas. Here, we're discussing a knas because he put his hand out. Tosus the Ramaskal Umay, which you'll see the second Tosus. Yeah, Tosus says that here we're talking about a case of Mavir Bein Rishuyo Sa'omdos Pershusaravim Zu Kereged Zu. So again, if there were two Rishus HaRavims and there was a Rishus HaYochid going in between them, that's a sugya later on Daf Tzadi Vav, that Mavir Rishus L'Rishus Derech Rishus HaRavim Ba'em says Chayev. So if we're talking about a Knas, it must be a case where there's one Rishus HaRavim and another Rishus HaRavim. There's no Rishus HaYochid in between, or there's no Rishus HaRavim in between the two Rishus HaYochid. Odei Shlomar Shehachatzeros Omdos Bitzad Acher Shulishus Rabbim Emerishus Rabbim Afsekus Beinehem. So again, the Rishonim here are working overtime to try to figure out why this is only an Issur Knas and there's no Issur D'oraisa, or at least there's no Issur D'rabbanan. It's only a Knas. Now, at this point, the Gemara is going to explain the difference between Achzoras Yad Rishus HaYochid, meaning the Rishus HaYochid where he started from, as opposed to putting the object down into another Rishus HaYochid, which is contiguous. And again, we're talking about a case, as we saw in the Rashba, where both Chatzeros are owned by one person, or the two Chatzeros, but they made an Erev Chatzeros. And the Gemara explains, Kidaboy mine Rova mi Rav Nachman. Rova asked the question of Rav Nachman, Hoysa yodam alei peros votzia l'chutz. So he's holding on to peros and he stretches his arm out, l'chutz. L'chutz means into Rishus HaRavim. Ma'olach zira l'osa chotzer. Is he allowed to bring his hand back into the same chotzer? And I'm assuming right now that it's a shogeg case. He's allowed to do it. L'chutz acheres ma'o. So now Rava asks Rav Nachman, what about to another chatzer? Asur. Umayshna. What's the difference? Why do you tell me that lo'osa chatzer you were matir, but l'chatz acheres it's asur? So Rav Nachman says in sort of a joking way, he says, l'chitechel Allah kura de milcha. You know, I'll give you an answer if you measure out a kura of melach, which is an awful amount. And then after you do that, I'll give you the answer. I'll show you the difference. But Lamaisa, he didn't even wait until he measured out the core of Melech. He gave him the answer immediately. Hasam, in the case where he's taking his hand back to the same Chotzelos Avida Machshavto, he didn't accomplish anything. He wanted to get these peros out of his Rishus, out of his Chotzel. But we're telling him now to bring it back into his Chotzel. But Hocha, here in the case where he's taking it into a Chatz Acheres, it's Avda Machshav, so he has fulfilled his desire to get the Peros out of his Chatz. And herein lies the distinction between the two cases. Meaning, if we want to accomplish some sort of a knas here, you know, to inhibit him from doing such a thing in the future, what we'll tell him is that you didn't accomplish anything. You're going to take your hand back and bring the peres back to the same chutz that you wanted to be mafana. You wanted to vacate the peres from the chutz. So he's going to get the message. But if we allow him to put it down in a different chutz, then he's going to be a happy guy, because that's exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to get it out of his chutz. So you're not going to in any way inhibit it from doing this in the future. And now I just want to share with you the Ritva. The Ritva says, Ein lo hochiach mikan l'sveiko shel Rav Bibi. There's no final conclusion about the suffik of Rav Bibi. She'e muta lirdos sapas kidesh lo nasis machshav to lef. Also you might say that just like we allowed him to bring his hand back in because it's lo esav de machshav to, and therefore he didn't gain anything. So the same thing is, if we allow him to be rode to the pas, he didn't gain anything. Kevin Shei Shlomar, Shemidubar Khan Dafka Kshahoshit Mi Bodyom. When we call Makom Maskana Sagmar, Mutal Lirdos, Kodam Shiobali Deisur Khatas. According to Rabibi, the way the Rashba understood it, according to Rashba at least, Rabibi Sofik comes to a final conclusion, Leheta, that you're allowed to be rode to the pas before you violate Deisur Khatas. Shari Mutar Af Kishahidbik Misha Khashecha. And we could allow this even though he was madbik the pas into the oven after nightfall. So as long as it's not, it's avda machshavto, we're going to allow him to do this. Gufa, let's go back to Boy Rabibi Barabai. Hidbik pas v'tanur. Hitiru lo lirdosa kon shiyavolidei chiv chatos olo hitiru omolei rav acha barabai l'ravina hechi domi ilema b'shogeg v'lo idkarlei. If it was a shogeg and he didn't remember before the pas was baked, is lamani tiru, you know, he's not even going to come to ask the shaila because he forgot that it's Shabbos, or he forgot that this is prohibited. He's not going to ask any questions. Tell a lav, it must be the Rabibi's suffix was the Hadar V'Yidkar. At some point, he remembers before the pas actually was baked that you're not allowed to be over for the pas. It's Shabbos, and he comes to ask if he's allowed to bring it back in. Is Mimachayev? Why are you telling me that if you don't allow him to be rode to the pas, he'll violate a chiyuv chatos? We have a Mishnah later on. On Daf Kuf Beis, Kol Chay VeChatos, Einan Chayovin Atshtei Tchiloson B'Shkoga V'Sofa B'Shkoga. In other words, if you had some sort of idea before the Isur was completed, then you're not called a Shogeg. And now he had an idea. He reminded himself that, oh no, I set up a process in motion of a fear that's going to culminate in a Malacha. So with that idea, he undermines the Chiyuv Chatos. Ella, the Gemara says, amazing. We're talking about a case where he deliberately put it in on Shabbos. He put the dough in the oven, and now we're going to have to understand what does it mean. Kodem Shiobali Dechiv Chatas. So the Gemara says, let's rewrite the text of Rabibi Barabai. Kodem Shiobali Deisus Skila Mi Boile. So the Gemara says, Omar Rav Shilo, I'm sorry, Miboile means not that we, you know, it's, we don't want to rewrite the text. That's what I'm going to say. Miboile, he should have said something else. It must be a case of Shogi. So Omar Rav Shilo, Li'olam B'Shogi. And he didn't remember until at all. He's not coming to ask the Shaila. Otherwise, it would be no chiyuv chatos because it would be a yediyah b'emtza. We need to shkoga mitchilu v'adsof. Ulamani tiru. Who's asking the shayla? L'achir. Somebody else is asking the shayla. He wants to know, can he be a good Samaritan and violate the Isur Yediyah Sapas for the sake of his friend who's about to violate a chiyuv chatos? So Gemara rejects Rav Shila. Why? Maskevle Rav Sheshes, v'kiyamomer lo la'odam chatei b'shvil kidei sheyizkeh chavercha. Do you have to violate an isud rabbanon in order to prevent your friend from coming to a chiyuv chatos? We don't say such a thing. In other words, ain't omer lo liadam chatei b'shvil sheyizkeh chavercha. El omer avashi liolam b'meizu. The emo, he's willing to change the text of Rabbi Rabbi Kom Shiyomu Deisu Skilo. The Gemara brings now a different text in Rabbi, and that is Rav Acha Breid Ravina Masile Behedja. His text, his version of Rabbi was explicit. Omer Rabbi Barbai Hibik Pas Vitanur Hitilo Dosu Kom Shiyomu Deisu Skilo. So therefore, you have the Girsa of Kodem Shiyovel Deisu Skila, and it's an amazing case. Alternatively, it could be a Shogay case, but then it's not he himself who's asking the question, it's somebody else, and then you come in conflict with the principle of Ein Omer Lo Liadom Chatei Bishvil Sheyizke Chavercha. Okay then? This is where we'll stop for today. So we're up to Daf Dalit Amud Aleph Poshat Ha'ani. Poshat Ha'ani is Yodo.
We're not meeting tomorrow.